أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا وحبيبنا حبيب إله العالمين محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجهم
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, everyone. I hope that inshallah Ramadan up till now has been quite rewarding, and in the remaining nights, which are the most crucial nights, the last 10 nights of Ramadan, as we have in hadith, are the most important nights of Ramadan. Inshallah, Allah would bless us with His mercy and enlighten our hearts with knowledge and ma'rifah of Him, and fills our hearts with His own love. As you know, the topic that we are going to discuss in these few nights is a quick glimpse at Dua Abu Hamza. Dua Abu Hamza is a massive dua. It's something that those of you who have read it attentively know the value of this dua. And it's just like a lantern, and just like a shining lamp in the nights of Ramadan, which illuminates the whole spiritual environment of the heart for those who recite it attentively. Now, of course, we cannot go through the whole dua. As I say, it's quite massive, and probably every paragraph of it would take one night to discuss. So what I will try to do is, inshallah, to somehow find certain themes in the dua that we can discuss, and then give the examples of those themes in the dua. And we will have more benefit if during these nights you, inshallah, try to somehow, with attentive hearts, with full attention, try to recite this dua with the meaning, knowing what you are talking, because this is a sort of a communication which goes from here, from the heart, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to know it. In the past few nights, Sheikh Shomali has talked about dua, and certainly different aspects of dua has been covered. And one of the most important aspects of dua is that you really call, not you recite. Most of the time we think that we have to recite a dua to complete a'mal. This is good, but not very useful. The useful aspect of dua is that you really call from your heart. That is the most important thing. And during these nights, don't worry to complete your a'mal, just to think that, well, I have done something and I have somehow treasured something for myself. No. Try to do something from your heart. That is the most important thing. Usually the heart somehow is unruly, you know that. It doesn't come forth all the time. You feel that you want to call the Lord, you feel that you want to cry, it doesn't come forth. It doesn't go with your intention. So you have to follow your heart rather than forcing your heart to follow you. As Amirul Mumin alayhi salam said, "Inna lahadhihi al-qulub adbarun iqbalun wa adbar." These hearts come forth and go back. So when they come forth, follow it and try to make the best use of it. Because now the heart is ready for you to say whatever you want to your Lord. When it goes back, do not force it. Just try to do whatever is wajib on you. Mirza Jawad Agha Maliki Tabrizi, which is one of the greatest men of ma'rifah and knowledge in the past century, He, in one of his books, he writes that, especially in Laylatul Qadr, on nights of Ramadan, try to follow your heart in what you can somehow appease it to do. If, for example, there is no good attitude for dua, leave dua, recite the Quran. If you think reciting the Quran doesn't come forth, do salat. Do something which goes better with your heart. Because it's all the heart which matters here. It's not a bank that you just credit something in it. I have credited all my du'as of Ramadan there. It doesn't work that way. As I said, it's good. However, the heart should come forth. The heart should speak. And this du'a, Abu Hamza, is something which, if it comes from your heart, you would see the beauty of it. And you cannot leave it. It would somehow follow you all through the year. You would like the Ramadan to come, the next Ramadan to come, only because you want to recite Abu Hamza. You want to talk to your Lord. Okay, who was this Abu Hamza? Abu Hamza al-Somali. Abu Hamza, of course, is a kunya, is a nickname. His name was Thabit ibn Dinar. And one of his sons, of course, was Hamza. He had five sons. Three of them were martyred with Zayd ibn Ali in the uprising of Zayd ibn Ali. His sons were, of course, among the supporters of Zayd ibn Ali. Three of them were martyred there. Two of them became men of knowledge and scholars, and we find their names in Hadith. And one of them was Hamza, who was a scholar, and that's why he was called Abu Hamza. And he had a great status at a young age, because he died year 150. And that is just after the demise of Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam. Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq. Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam died year 148. So he passed away 2 years after him. And he, of course, met Ali ibn Hussein Zain al-Abidin. He met Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam. He met Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. And he met Musa ibn Ja'far for a short while before he died. He passed away. Apparently, I mean, with this history, when he was meeting Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam, he was quite young. But he was very close, and these du'as, imams were not teaching it to everyone. And not everyone could actually apprehend and understand and record them. So Abu Hamza had a very high status there, recording such a very long du'a from Imam Zain al-Abidin, because these du'as were usually the private sort of moments of A'imma alayhi salam when they were calling. So recording such a dua from Imam means that he was with the Imam during the nights of Ramadan. He was with the Imam, he prayed with him, he called the Lord with him while he was very young. That's why we have a hadith from Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam saying that Abu Hamza in his time was like Salman at the time of the Prophet. He had that sort of status, very high. And also in another hadith we have that Abu Hamza is compared with Luqman al-Hakim. Now Luqman has a very high status, isn't it? His name is mentioned in the Quran. Usually, apart from the prophets, rarely names are mentioned in the Quran. And Luqman was not a prophet, apparently. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةِ. We gave hikmah to Luqman, and Allah gave hikmah to Abu Hamza as well. And hence, this dua recorded from Imam Zain al-Abidin passed down to us. And we don't know how we have to thank Abu Hamza, how we have to thank Imam Zain al-Abidin for such a precious literature, precious piece of communication with Allah. Of course, we have two types of communication with Allah. One communication is when God speaks to us. That's the Quran. The other communication is when human being talk to God. However, because we are not quite familiar with the word of God, we cannot make this communication. This communication is established through certain people, through prophets, through imams, and then we use that communication. We follow them. We recite it in the hope that our hearts become illuminated like their hearts, that our soul become enlightened like their soul. So this communication is as important as the Quran is. That's why in hadith we have ad-du'a Quranun sa'id. Du'a is the Quran which goes up. Quran is the book which comes down. Du'a of a'imma alayhimus salam, du'a of prophets, is the Quran which goes up. It's a communication with the Lord. And it's quite authentic when we really find a true du'a from an imam or from a prophet. Usually the du'a, because we have different types of du'a and different types of ijabah. I don't want to go into du'a very much because you had this discussion for several nights. But one du'a which Allah certainly listened to and certainly gives value to it is a du'a of awliya. Now we have many instances in the Quran. Now one instance is Ayatul Mubahala, isn't it? فَقُلْ تَعَالَوْ نَدْعُ أَبْنَاءَنَا وَأَبْنَاءَكُمْ وَنِسَاءَنَا وَنِسَاءَكُمْ ثُمَّ نَبْتَهِلْ. Let's bring our women and our children and ourselves and then call upon God. فَنَجْعَلْ لَعْنَةُ اللَّهَ عَلَى الظَّالِمِينَ or عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. Now, we see that Prophet takes only Fatima and Ali and Hassan and Hussein, and this is unanimous. No one else has mentioned anything different from this. And this means that this was a true dua. This was a dua which Allah would have listened to, would have given it value. Now, Banu Israel were calling against Pharaoh for years and years, were cursing them for what they did to them, for what especially Pharaoh did to them. But when Musa and Pharaoh call, at the very end, of course, Musa doesn't curse Pharaoh up till the very end, despite all those troubles that he made, all those tortures. At the end, he says, وَقَالَ مُوسَى رَبِّ إِنَّكَ آتَيْتَ فِرْعَوْنَ وَمَلَأَهُ زِينَةً وَأَمْوَالًا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. He called, anyhow. I don't want to just translate this. Allah says, قَالَ قَدْ أُجِيبَتْ دَعْوَتُكُمَا. I am responding to you and to Harun, not to others. Others are not so pure. I'm not listening to them. Now, you may become disappointed. You say, if Allah is not listening to people like us, so what's the point? Now, we will see in Abu Hamza what's the point. It's very beautiful. Very beautifully, Imam puts this in Abu Hamza. إِلَهِ إِن كُنْتَ لَا تَخْفِرُ إِلَّا لَأَوْلِيَائِكَ فَبِمَنْ يَسْتَقِيثُ الْمُذْنِبُونَ. If you do not forgive but your awliya, if you do not listen but to your prophets, so the sinners, what should they do? Where should we go? You see, the way he speaks to God, it is so touching, it's so moving in the heart that one feels that this is something that I have to keep to the end of my life in my heart. Now, as I said, we have to go through certain themes in Dua Abu Hamza to somehow analyze it. As I said, it's massive. If you just want to read it and go, it would take about 45 minutes, 1 hour. If you want to read it and cry, it would take about 2 hours. Because this sort of communication is always with a sort of sensation of heart, which gives it value. So we cannot cover all of it, but we can use certain themes to somehow analyze it. The dua starts like this. Of course, I'm not going to to delve into the dua deeply tonight, because I want to talk a bit about Laylatul Qadr as well, just the starting point. Now, the starting point is fascinating. It's fascinating. Ilahi, la tu'adibni bi'uqubatik, wa la tamkurbi fi hilatik. Now, the Imam here makes a confession. I have to be corrected. I know. I have to be rectified. I have lots of wrongs. You have to correct me. Ta'adib. Ta'adib is to correct someone, isn't it? Now, you have to correct me. But do not correct me with your punishment. Correct me in other ways. It's very beautiful. The very first term in the dua is, God, I'm wrong. You are right. And this is the beginning of every dua. This is the beginning of connection with the Lord. Unless you know this, you cannot connect with the Lord. That you are wrong and He is right. That you are talking from a weak position. Do not think that you have a strong position when you talk to God. Do not talk to God commandingly. No. I know I'm wrong. I have a weak position. I have nothing to offer, actually. I have nothing to offer. What can I offer? However, it's that very weakness, through the whole dua you will see, it's that very weakness that Imam invokes again and again and again. That I don't have anything. I'm very weak. I'm full of mistakes. I'm full of wrongs. So what should I do? What's my position here? And then I know that I need to be corrected. I know that I need to be rectified. So he says, Elahi, la tu'adibni bi'uqubatik. If you want to rectify me, do not rectify me with your punishment. However, do not leave me to myself as well. You see, we are always in a dilemma, aren't we? Punishment or Allah leaving us to ourselves. If He punishes, He tries to rectify us, isn't it? But if He doesn't punish and He leaves us to ourselves, we go farther and farther away. So, لا تعذبني بعقوبتك ولا تمكر بي في حيلتك. And do not put me in the trap of your stratagem. And that's the stratagem that Allah uses with the oppressors, with wrongdoers, with kuffar, leaves them to do what they want, and they don't do anything but according to what God has planned for them. Isn't it? وَمَكَرُوا مَكْرًا وَمَكَرْنَا مَكْرًا وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. They try to find lots of different stratagem measures against our prophets. They didn't know that they are playing in our stratagem. They are playing in our hand. You see, Musa was someone feared by Pharaoh. Pharaoh feared Musa to be born, and he tried to kill every child so that he is not born. And he was trapped in the strategy of Allah, that He brought Musa to His own house. He raised Musa in His own house. Now, usually if Allah does not correct us by punishment, then there's this danger that He is giving us ni'mah and we are disobeying. He's giving us ni'mah and we are negligent. And is He somehow putting us into a trap that we are moving towards it step by step? So, God, I'm in a very, very bad position. If You punish me, I cannot tolerate it. If You leave me, I'm left in Your stratagem, which will take me to perdition. So do not do either of this to me. So what should God do with us? This is God's dilemma, isn't it? It's a paradox. What should God do with us? Should He punish us? Should He leave us? إِلَٰهِ لَا تُعَدِّبْنِي بِعُقُوبَتِكْ وَلَا تَمْكُرْ بِي فِي حِيلَتِكْ. And, okay, what should you do with me then? What should you do? I don't know. You do whatever you want, but not neither of these two. مِنْ أَيْنَ لِيَ الْخَيْرُ يَا رَبْ وَلَا يُجَدُ إِلَّا مِنْ عِنْدِكْ. Where should I find my khair, my good? It's all with You. So you decide. You decide how you want to treat me. You decide. This is one theme. And this theme runs through the dua. runs through the dua, all through the dua, you see this weak position, always invoking his weakness, invoking his entanglement in this world, and saying, God, help me because of this, not because of anything else, not because I deserve anything. And as I said, it comes again and again. As soon as he said, God, listen to me, and he says, من غير استحقاق لست ما أملك مني. I do not deserve you, listen to me. I know. I've come here, I've sat before you, I'm calling you, but I know, I do not deserve that you should listen to me. If you do not listen to me, I do not complain, but I don't go away. If you drive me away, if you push me away from yourself, I don't go anywhere. I don't have anywhere to go. So, you see, this is the theme which runs through the dua. Inshallah, we find certain themes apart from this one theme that runs through the whole dua. Inshallah, other themes we will discuss in the following nights. Now, tonight is one of the Layal al-Qadr, and probably the most important one. About Laylatul Qadr, there are different meanings which scholars have tried to attach to Laylatul Qadr, all pertaining to Qadr. One which is quite far-fetched is Qadr coming from Qudra, from power. And thus, you see in many translations that Laylatul Qadr is translated as night of power. Well, that's true. It's the night of power of God. Power not in terms of crushing, power in terms of forgiving. This is the power that Allah shows on Laylatul Qadr. And power in terms of course, destiny and all these things. So it has an understandable meaning, but to take Qadr as Qudra is something which is far from Arabic language, and the term doesn't allow it, Laylatul Qadr, to be out of power. Three other meanings are mentioned for it, which are all somehow, all of them deals with one aspect of this Laylatul Qadr. One meaning of Qadr is value, greatness, something which is great and tremendous. It has Qadr, and this is used in the Quran. وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ. They have not appreciated God the way up to the value and greatness that he has. وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ. So Laylatul Qadr is the night of greatness, is a tremendous night in terms of the night itself, because the angels come down to the earth. There is a connection between heaven and earth in this night. In terms of actions, it's great, because the action in Laylatul Qadr, the acts in Laylatul Qadr are valued as 1,000 times of, even more than that, of other nights. And in terms of us, we are also quite valuable in Laylatul Qadr, in the sense that Allah pays attention to us. And anything that Allah, any servant that Allah pays attention to is great. So we are also great in Laylatul Qadr. The night is great, the a'mal are great, the servants are great. So this is Laylatul Qadr, the night of greatness. Azama, Laylatul Azama, so to speak. This is another meaning. Another meaning of Laylatul Qadr, they take Qadr from tightness. Allahu yabsutu rizqa liman yasha'u wa yaqdir. Allah expands rizq for anyone he wishes and would tighten it. So Qadr means tightness. Why Laylatul Qadr is the night of tightness? Because so many angels come to the earth that the earth cannot contain them. So the earth is quite tight. Everything is on the earth. The angels, so to speak, the earth is swarmed with angels, so to speak. And who knows the population of angels? We have in hadith that Allah has not created any being more than angels. So when the angels come down to the earth becomes tight for them. This is another meaning. This looks at another aspect of Laylatul Qadr. The other meaning, which is quite common, is the Qadr from Taqdeer. That's measuring, to measure and to destine. So Allah destines in this night. However, hadn't Allah destined everything in the primordial time? Because Allah doesn't have time. Allah does not act in time. So when we say Allah destines everything up to the following year, Allah destines everything up to the following year on Laylatul Qadr, what does it mean? While we know that Allah has destined everything right from the beginning, not a destiny which is forced upon people. And that's the beauty of the act of God. He destines without forcing us. You may say, how? I say, this is God. God's acts are not like human acts. It's very complicated, very complicated. Our mind cannot, of course, analyze it. However, he says, I have destined everything and I have given you free will. We just have to take it from him. Now, so what's the meaning of he destines on Laylatul Qadr things which should come to us for the next year? It means that it reveals them to the angels, which have to carry out these things. So on Laylatul Qadr, these things are revealed to angels. They are concealed before that. And then comes this revelation, this appearance of destiny to the angels, which they have to carry things there because they work behind the scene. So this is how it works. However, does it mean that if things are destined in this night, they cannot be changed? No, it doesn't mean that. Allah changes things with dua all the time. We have in Sahih al-Sajjadiyya, Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam saying, وَبِقَضَائِكَ الْمُبْرَمِ, I ask you by the strong, confirmed destiny, verdict of you, الَّذِي تَحْجُبُهُ بَأَيْسَرَ الدُّعَى, that you bar it, you stop it acting by the slightest dua, by the smallest dua, you do that. So dua changes things. However, if we are left to ourselves, not calling upon, if the du'as are not responded, then things would move according to what is destined on Laylatul Qadr. However, what is important for us is why we keep awake on this night, why we do ibadah, why we do call upon Allah, is because what Allah destines for muhsineen is different from what he destines for other people. When the destiny is revealed to the angels, it is revealed the way you are. So it's important how you are on this night. We may have done lots of wrongs during the year, but Allah has given us another opportunity before he just issues the verdict. Before he issues that, he says, come to me, come, purify, so that things would reveal to angels in a different way. So that's why we try to keep awake, we try to do good things, to be seen in worship, to be seen in calling upon Allah, to call upon Allah for certain things. Because when this destiny is being revealed, it's revealed according to our prayers as well. Now, you may say, what's What's the evidence for that? The evidence is in the Quran. The Quran says, when revelation comes to the Prophet, don't ask certain things. Because if you ask when revelation is coming down, then it would be revealed as well. Because you have asked. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, la tas'alu an ashya'a in tubda lakum tasu'ukum. Do not ask the Prophet questions that if sometimes you see we ask very irrelevant questions to make things difficult for ourselves. For example, we are told to make wudu, then we ask, how should we do it? How should the water go? Whether should it run through all the hairs and these things or not? We ask lots and lots of questions, and then the answer should come, of course. But if we don't ask, then we do something quite easy, as in the story of the slaughtering the cow in Banu Israel. They were told, slaughter a cow. They said, what should be the color? What should be the age? Well, had they slaughtered before asking, Allah wouldn't have demanded anything. But Allah, okay, what you want the age? This is the age. The color? This is the color. Then they couldn't find the cow. That was the problem, you see. They asked all these questions, then they couldn't find the cow. So, the Quran says, وَإِن تَسْأَلُوا عَنْهَا حِينَ يُنَزَّلُ الْقُرْآنُ تُبْدَ لَكُمْ. If you are asking when revelation comes down, then Allah will reveal it because you have asked. Now, if this is the case, what about revelation of destiny to the angels? The destiny is being revealed to the angels. You say, Ya Allah, destined for me Hajj to this year. Okay, I reveal that to the angels for you because you asked. Ya Allah, I want Salah. I want to be good. Okay. I reveal it to the angels because you asked. So that's why it's important. The destiny which is revealed to angels in this night is somehow changed by our attitude, by what we ask. You ask for money, Allah gives you money. You ask for love, Allah gives you love. You ask for faith, Allah gives you faith. Depends what you want, what you ask. So this is the importance of Laylatul Qadr, the night of destiny. So this, now all these three meanings, they do not contradict each other. They actually corroborate each other. It's the night of destiny because that destiny is revealed to angels. It's the night of azamah and greatness because in terms of human beings, in terms of the night itself, in terms of the acts, it's quite great. It is night of tightness because the earth swarmed with the angel and there's no place, nowhere you turn that there's no angel. We don't see them, of course, but there's no way we turn that there is not one angel. And these angels are very sensitive creatures, very sensitive and very honest and very frank. So if they see something they like, they cannot hold themselves. They just greet it. They greet it. That's why the angels would like to come and greet mu'minun on the earth. You have heard that every day angels seek permission to come down and visit the grave of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, isn't it? Because they like it. They love that. Some angels sought permission from God to come down at the time of the Prophet and just greet the Prophet because they loved it. It was their aspiration. They hope that someday they find the opportunity to be able to do that. So these angels, as I said, they are very sensitive, they are very frank, they are very honest. When they are passing by you, and they are everywhere on Laylatul Qadr, when they see your face, and your face is full of light, your heart is bright, then automatically they greet you. And when they greet you, they bring you bounties, they bring you blessing, they bring you mercy. So it's very important that you do not sleep in these nights. One other question, the time is running out. One other question. Why this very valuable, very great, very important night is not specified for us clearly and accurately, that we have to seek it in different nights? There are two answers to this. One answer is that Laylatul Qadr is a process. It's not a sudden event. It happens gradually. And we don't know at what stage the angels come down. We do not know. Now, in Hadith, we have that Al-Ibram Laylatul Fi Laylatul Tis'atashar. Fi Laylatul Tis'atashar. Al-Ibram Fi Laylatul Tis'atashar. The destiny is decided upon on the night of 19th. It's decided upon. So, what does that mean? It means at-taqdir. At-taqdir, measurement. Ibram is the next stage. At-taqdir fi laylati tis'ata ashar. The measurements are made. It's just like if, for example, there's a council. They decide according to certain criteria who should have what. How we have to distribute, for example, the wealth between the people. They decide about it. They send it up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just imagine that, okay? So this is taqdeer. They measure these things. While they are measuring these things on the night of 19th, you have to make an effort yourself to make that measurement to work in your favor. وَالْإِبْرَامْ فِي لَيْلَةٍ Ihda wa ishrin. Ibram is when this measurement, this destiny is confirmed by Allah. What does that mean? These measurements go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are imagining in our world, okay? And Allah looks at it and says, well, this certain person, you have put all these for him. No, but he changed these, okay? And he changes certain things and confirmed, okay. Confirmed goes to the other office to be issued as an order to be somehow conveyed to the angels. And that conveyance, still there is hope for change between these two, Ibram and Wal Imza fi Laylati Thalath al Washri. Imza means when Allah signs it. Go. Okay, now go and do it. So, every of these nights, especially the last night, which is night of 23rd, is very important because God is going to sign it now. And until the very last moment, things are going to change. So that's very important. This is one justification for why the nights are not accurately mentioned, the Laylatul Qadr is not accurately mentioned. This is one justification. The other explanation is that, now we may say this, we do not understand this, because certainly the angels come down on earth on one night. And they do not listen to Ayatollah Sistani or Ayatollah Khamenei or other Ayatollah. They come on one night. So if you have doubts, do six nights, okay? Do six nights. If you have doubt, do six nights. Don't say that I do according to this Ayatollah or other, with all due respect, but the angels do not listen to them. The angels do their work, okay? So if things are confused, if things are somehow not clear for us, the beginning of the month is confused. So, you see, you can just don't care. Okay, don't care. But if you care, you care for your own benefit. However, it may be difficult to do all these amal on six nights. Okay, so, for example, on those specific nights which you follow your marja, do all the amal that we just mentioned. In other nights, try to keep awake and do certain things which your heart would somehow conform with you. But try to keep away, try to do dua. Don't need to do all, you need to go through all the a'mal. As I said, this idea we go through the a'mal is not quite a wrong, right idea. See, a'mal we do precisely because we want our heart to turn to God. This is important thing. Allah is not a businessman that we somehow make it, give him a sort of price. Okay, this certain amount I've done on this night, take it and give me what I want. It doesn't work like that. So, the angels come down on one night, and that's Laylatul Qadr. So we may say we do not understand that gradual process and these things. Why this one night is not specified? Why this one night is not determined accurately for us? One of the reasons given by A'imma alayhimus salam is that because it is in your benefit to call upon God in all these nights, you accrue more benefit actually. If it's determined for one night, then you do only that one night. But if you have hope, you see, if you have hope for one of these three nights to be Laylatul Qadr, you try your best in all these three nights. And you know how much benefit you take with yourself, for yourself, all these nights. So, and sometimes, for example, A'imma alayhi salam said, it's very easy to do this on these two nights or three nights. The two nights are mentioned especially night of 21st and 23rd. Ma aysara laylatayn fi ma tatlub. How easy it is to do two nights. And especially we have this sunnah of the Prophet that he used to keep awake all 10 nights, 10 last nights of Ramadan. He used to keep awake all those 10 nights to gain the benefit of Ramadan. You see, Ramadan, benefits of Ramadan is not restricted to the day, to fasting. The bigger chunk of the benefits of Ramadan is what you do in the night. And because you fast in the day, you are more prepared in the night to turn to God. This fasting prepares you, makes your heart, softens your heart and makes it to turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's a preparation for the night. The night is very important. The night of Ramadan is very important. So it's not determined because we do all these three nights and we gain more benefits and we become more purified. So inshallah tonight, which is a very crucial night, and sometimes it is said that by high probabilities Laylatul Qadr is the 23rd, the night of 23rd. Although, of course, it's not exactly mentioned, but usually the scholars refer to one hadith from the Prophet and call this Laylatul Juhani. Why Laylatul Juhani? Because an old man from Banu Juhayna came to the Prophet and said, Ya Rasulallah, I cannot come to the mosque two nights because I live very far away. So, which night you advise me to come? 21st or 23rd? And the Prophet said, come on 23rd. And this is taken to mean that 23rd is by all probabilities is Laylatul Qadr. And it's called Laylatul Juhani because of that. However, maybe in that year, Laylatul Qadr was 23rd. It may differ on different years. So that's another possibility. We don't know. And it's good that Allah has kept it so vague and unclear for us so that we have these three nights. And who knows what is the treasure that we accrue and we obtain in each of these nights. Whether we Laylatul Qadr or not we Laylatul Qadr, the very fact that we go to the doors of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest benefit that we have. You sometimes say that, Ya Allah, give me the benefits of Laylatul Qadr not knowing that the very act that you do in Laylatul Qadr are the benefits of Laylatul Qadr. You are receiving that by very act of vigil, night vigil, keeping awake and all these things. We pray upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives us the tawfiq that we can inshallah rectify ourselves in a way that our destiny is the destiny of muhsineen on these nights. We pray upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the best thing that He can give, that He ever gives to one of His servants, and that is His love. We pray upon Allah that He removes from us the worst thing that He has removed from the heart of His awliya, and that's the love of this world. And we pray upon Allah, inshallah, that our brothers do pray for us, we pray for them, and all these prayers are, inshallah, given the ijabah and fulfillment by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi al-tahirin.
Ahlul Bayt TV, the holy household for every